Furthermore, Orhan was the first ruler in the Ottoman dynasty who secured an important bridgehead into Europe. In 1354, 1356, a group of Ottoman mercenaries, who were actually on loan to the Byzantine emperor, who was in the midst of a civil war, seized the peninsula of Gallipoli. That is the European peninsula, which is on the western side of the Dardanelles, that strategic strait between ancient Abydos and Sestos, later the modern cities of Çanakkale and Etchebat. And that European peninsula was handed over to Orhan by these rogue mercenaries. And for those who remember or know of events in the First World War, these straits were absolutely strategic. It's the point where you can cross over from Asia Minor to Europe. And that's exactly what Orhan's armies did. Within a generation, the Ottomans had crossed into Europe and had overrun much of the Balkans. Much of the Byzantine legacy in Europe fell into their hands. This climaxed at a extremely important battle, the so-called Battle of Kosovo, fought against the Serbian kings. And as a result of that victory, much of the Balkans fell into the hands of Orhan's successors. That had two important consequences. One, Constantinople was isolated. At the time of the Sultan Bayezid the Thunderbolt in 1389, and it was Bayezid who won that battle at the opening of his reign, the Battle of Kosovo, down to the fall of the city in 1453 to Mehmet II, former Byzantine capital, or the Byzantine capital still, Constantinople, was in the hands of the last emperors and isolated, surrounded by a mass of Ottoman possessions, both in northern Asia Minor and in the Balkans. Second, Christian crusaders arrived to relieve the city of Constantinople. Most of these armies were really those of the King of Hungary, but there were also Western Europeans. And the Ottoman sultans managed to beat back these later Western crusades in the Balkans and tighten the noose around the city of Constantinople. And when Constantinople finally fell in 1453, it was only the third of sieges conducted by the Ottoman sultans to capture that vital city, which was increasingly becoming the natural capital of this Ottoman sultanate, this Ottoman state. At the time that the Ottomans are expanding their power across the Balkans and Western Asia Minor, the sultans also carried out some important institutional reforms and military reforms that gave the Ottomans that final advantage to conquer Asia Minor, to unite the Byzantine political legacy under the Sultan Mehmet II, and then to expand to the great limits of essentially a world empire. That was a reform first in the maintaining of cavalry. Sultan Orhan and his successors developed a land tenure which is known in Turkish as timar. It's probably based on early Byzantine military tenures, and this is essentially going back to a traditional system in Asia Minor of handing out estates in return for military service, in this case, cavalry. I stressed how difficult it was to maintain the cavalry on the rather limited grasslands of Asia Minor, and you had to move from free grazing to estates where the horses could be maintained and stud farms could be grain-fed, and that required property, that required land, and so the Ottoman sultans began to give out estates to their supporters, and in return for these estates, they were to furnish cavalry. And the timur became the basis of building or rebuilding the cavalry's economic and social basis, moving it off a tribal organization based on pastoral life, nomadic patterns of movement, to a more settled set of conditions of estates. And that gave the Ottoman sultans an advantage against their rivals out in Central and Eastern Asia Minor, who still followed the earlier patterns of life. In addition, there were changes in the army. There was a important reform to bring in infantry. And infantry was always a weak arm in the traditional Turkish armies. It was often provided by mercenaries. And here again, the Sultan Murad II pointed the way. There had been a long tradition in the Islamic world of using slave troops, that is, slaves who were brought into the Islamic world, usually young boys, anywhere from 12 to 15. And they were then trained as devout Muslims and devoted to the person of the Muslim ruler. While Murad put a new dimension on this, he imposed a tax on his various provinces, where the Christian population at different intervals had to provide a levy of young boys, and this was done through the church records, who would be inspected. They would be taken from their families. They would be circumcised, converted to Islam, and then trained to be invincible infantry.